Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. This week's guest is TV's Emma Kennedy, if that is her real name. And if you enjoy these, you can help us make more by going to gofasterstripe.com and buying a badge. Go to gofasterstripe.com/badges. You can either buy just a one-off badge, and that money will go to making new As It Occurs to Me's with TV's Emma Kennedy. Or you can buy a badge monthly, and you get access to a secret channel. I get to send you out an email with secret stuff in it that no one else gets. You get backstage interviews with all the guests that you can't see anywhere else except on our exclusive channel, and you can win prizes every month, and plus you're part of a gang of the biggest nerds in the world. So what more could you want? Anyway, let's go and watch. This was a great episode. Emma was so funny in it. We haven't recorded it yet, so if she isn't funny, that's why. It is Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. There has definitely not been an embarrassing hiatus just then. And please welcome, as Richard Herring got his paper, will you please welcome Richard Herring? Thank you very much. I have in my hand a piece of paper. Welcome. Yeah, that's right. Some history fans in there enjoying my historical illusion. And hopefully today's show will be as successful as Neville Chamberlain's talks with Hitler. That's what we're hoping for in today's... Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Though I've noticed some of the cooler kids on the internet have started calling it Rehearlester-per. This is the third one in Series 7. We've been going for ages. We've done thousands of these things, it seems. You'd think I'd be good at it by now, but I'm really not. So I'm here. This is my Lannister notebook that will one day... This will one day sell for hundreds of pounds. That is the exciting... It's like holding the Mona Lisa in my hands, this knowing. I like. Who's your favourite Game of Thrones? Do you like the Lannisters?
Yeah.
Tyrion Lannister. Yeah, he's all right. I've got, if you forget who they are, this is quite good, because I in Game of Thrones, I kind of forget who all the... There's too many characters, isn't it? They should get rid of some of them. They've got like a handy little thing in the front there. You can... So there he is. He's the main one. Liking him makes you boring. Yeah, I like Tywin Lannister. That's who I like the best. He gets shot in the toilet. Oh, okay, what a giveaway. I've had quite a good week, but yeah, yesterday I went out, I had a Sunday off, and I ended up going to the park with my wife and daughter, and we walked 10 miles. I've got a watch that tells me how far I walk now. I walked down, so I'm quite tired today, but I had a lovely day off with my daughter and my wife, and then we went to the cinema with my wife to see Tomorrowland, which I really advise you not to go and see. is I wish that I could go to an alternate place where Tomorrowland did not exist. That is, it's like the sliding doors of the 21st century. But I fell asleep. I was so tired, I fell aboard, but I fell asleep, which I haven't done at the cinema for a long time, because I'm a young man. But when we went for some food just before the cinema, and in Shepherd's Bush, beautiful Westfield. Shepherd's Bush is an amazing place, and you should all come and live there. And it's a jewel in the crown of London. I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to sell my house. It's safer than you imagine it's going to be. That's what it should say on the sign as you enter. It's much less crime than you imagined. There's a very nice New Mexican restaurant opened up on the Oxbridge Road. I do recommend it. It's becoming gentrified. Buy my fucking house so I can go and live somewhere else. But I was in the Westfield, which is amazing. And we were having some tapas, a nice tapas. But it's a wonderful place, the Westfield. And Michael Gove walked past, the Justice Secretary, the most unpopular politician, the former Education Secretary. He walked past with two children, who I'm assuming were his kids, but, he's a politician. So you don't know. Hopefully they're safe. Either way, hopefully they're still... They haven't been taken to any guest houses they went to as they went to... I don't know. Just we got to be careful with politicians. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything about Michael Gove. But, if you look... just have to look at him. And the kids didn't look anything like him. But, if they are his kids, there was two kids. They were very nice-looking children, which made me suspicious. But it also means if they are his, that Michael Gove has had sex twice, which is the most amazing thing. But the more amazing was that Michael Gove, the most unpopular, surely the most unpopular man in the country, who you would imagine any street he walks down, there's five people who want to punch him in the face, at least. That's the least. Had no security, just walking around the Westfield like he was a normal guy. I realised I had the opportunity, I could have killed Michael Gove. I was sort of frozen to the spot, he was so close. And then he'd gone and I could have killed him. And it's like a lot of people say if they could go back in time they would kill Hitler. And that's in hindsight, isn't it? But I just hope that if I had the opportunity and killed Michael Gove at that moment, people have gone, oh, that's a rum deal. Richard shouldn't have done that. I'd probably go to prison, would never see my daughter again. But, in hindsight, in 20 years' time, people are going to go, why didn't you kill Michael Gove, Rich? When you had the chance to do it. But that's incredible. It makes me think that him not having security guards is like David Cameron's going, oh, yeah, we can't afford to do that. I think David Cameron wants him to be killed, surely, because he would definitely be killed. When I was in Eastbourne on Saturday doing a gig, and it was at the same time as the UKIP party conference was in town. I was disappointed that I got less people to come and see me than the UKIP party conference. So I thought I'd change my act a little bit, try and bring... Probably not the day to do it now, think about it. People in Eastbourne could have killed what's his name? Nigel Farage. Though I think he's just going to die, isn't he? He is just going to die, isn't he? Hopefully soon. I don't wish death on anyone apart from evil right-wing politicians. But anyway, we will crack on. I've got plenty more observations from my week, but we'll save them up for the second podcast. That means I don't have to talk to you, madam. I was going to talk to you, wasn't I? Be rude to you. Hello, what's your name?
Lena.
Lena? Like Lena Thingy from Game of Thrones. Yeah, that's what does your badge say? I paid £1. Good, that's good. You can buy those at the bars and at the back if you haven't got an iPad. Nearly everyone's got one, to be honest. There is a few empty seats here today, which speaks volumes about our guests for today. But these are the hardcore 100 who will be, when the spaceship comes down, you'll all be safe because you'll be wearing that. What do you do, Lena? I don't know if I've seen you before. Okay. No, you're new to the gig. What's your job? Because, A, you're a lady. That's quite unusual. Look, ma'am, a nice lady. What do you do for a living? You've got your own company. What does that sort of sounds like euphemistically like it's going to be? I've imagined a much more exciting company than... What does your company do? You help small businesses, i.e. prostitutes, find... Yeah, sort of the big... come here, and then there's one of your customers has come in. It's good. You sort of other businesses find custom. So you're just leeching off small businesses, taking their money. Not leech. It's not leeching. Making them make more money. Yeah, but who ultimately makes the most money, Lena? Yeah, that's right. Look at you with the I paid a pound badge. They knew what you were spending on. Well, you're most welcome to the show. I'm very charming. I'm very charming, aren't I, Andy McCage? Our guest today on this third podcast in Series 7 I'm getting all the guests to sign my book in the hope that it will make it more valuable. I mean, this is going to make it less valuable. She is... I might just rip this page out. It says... She's not just signed it, she said, "You are a massive twat, but I still love you." She is best known from her work on the seminal ITV stand-up and sketch show Planet Mirth. That is what you will be here to see it from. She is TV's Emma Kennedy, ladies and gentlemen. It's TV's Emma Kennedy, if that is her real name. If it is... We'll find out if it is all.
My real name.
I tell you what, I forgot to do something in my opening monologue that I will do now. I have to say in my opening monologue, pretend Emma isn't here. We'll edit this together.
Pretend I'm
Is from John Mason. John Mason wants me to say, "My brother Andy Mason is a fucking idiot." I think that'll be a theme of these. Hello, Emma. How are you doing?
I'm really super.
It's been ages since I've seen you. I used to see you all the time.
Ages and ages.
And then it's been a long time since I've seen you.
But maybe, you know, we might get to do AA Ottoma again.
We might do. The way things are going, we might do. It'll be nice. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it would. I'd enjoy it.
I was hoping to film the motorcycle clothing sketch this year, so I might give you a ring.
Yeah, but, okay.
I mean, you have to learn the lines. I sure like motorcycling around. So what do you mean? I'm trying to be like Justin Lee Collins in my life, just more generally.
Really?
Yeah.
Just trying to live my life.
I've thought it through. Okay. I want to live my life being unpleasant and then having my partner...
Also, actually, I've always thought that I would do very well in jail.
Yeah.
because I'm very good at becoming institutionalised almost immediately in any given circumstance.
That is true.
And I like order.
You do.
And I think there is something in me that quite enjoys being told what to do around the clock.
Yeah,
so
I don't think he's ever been to jail. But... I'm being in that he tries to get the groups of people to... When he's being charming and not shouting abuse at women and being recorded, he tries to get groups of people from the old days back together. I'd try to get the cast of Planet Mirth back together.
That'd be quite easy.
It'd be quite easy. I've had two of them on this.
We could do one of the old classic Planet Mirth sketches. There are no classic Mirth, but I need to say that straight away. But yeah, we could do the caravanning sketch or something.
Yeah, they kept moving it around in the schedules to give the other shows a chance. So, as with much of Emma's early work, that was because she was involved with me for quite a lot. That's going to get Planet Mirth, and I'm going to try and get the cast of Robbie the Reindeer, Close Encounters of the Herd Kind. Yeah. I'm going to try and get that's the second episode. It's like an unpopular Justin Lee Collins, if you can imagine that. A less popular Justin Lee Collins.
Well, looking at you, I can imagine it. So
I've cut my hair. I've had my hair cut. So, Emma Kennedy.
Yes.
I've known you for a long, long time.
Since I was 18 years old.
It's incredible. So we worked together. We met at university.
Yes.
And we did a sketch troupe together.
The Seven Raymonds.
The Seven Raymonds. There were six of us and none of us were called Raymond.
Yeah, we thought that was hilarious.
That was good. do you remember what are your memories of those early days of the Seven Raymonds?
My memories were, I remember you saying, "We're going to Edinburgh Festival." And I rang my mother and I said, "I'm going to be in a show in Edinburgh Festival. I have made it." And I genuinely believed that, you know, like Dick Whittington, that going to do a show in Edinburgh was we were going to come back with our pockets stuffed with gold. I mean, it couldn't have been further from the truth. But my biggest memory of that first Edinburgh was I slept under a coffin for 6 weeks. Remember when we stayed at the Masonic Lodge, and every single person got athlete's foot, and we had two big plastic bins, because we had no money whatsoever. And one bin was full of cornflakes, and the other bin was full of pasta, and that was it. There was nothing else to eat, and there was nowhere to wash other than a tiny, tiny hand basin that was in the toilet, and that was it. Those were our washing facilities
it was strange.
For 6 weeks.
Yeah, so there's like 50 or 60 students sleeping on the floor with tables delineating their space at night.
And were you there the evening when we sort of broke into the basement just to see what was down there? Now, is that weird white TARDIS
thing? There was a TARDIS in the basement of the... I don't know if you've been to Masonic lodges. I haven't been to Masonic apart from this one, but there was a lot... We found a lot of strange accoutrements, but that was the weirdest one, yeah.
Well, we broke into the actual temple, didn't we? And we pulled out all the paintings and there was a couple of swords and...
There was a staff with a snake on it.
It escalated quickly. Let's put it that way. But there was that, and I also remember, because people flyer, don't they, in Edinburgh, and our promotional push was putting Mike Cosgrave in a cage and wheeling him up and down the Royal Mall and telling people not to come to our show.
Yeah. We said he was on hunger strike protesting against our show. We pretended to be some people protesting against our show in the hope of whipping up some controversy. And Mike Cosgrave was in a cage we'd constructed. He was supposed to... he was on... I mean, we knew it was a joke. He was on a hunger strike, but he had some packets of crisps in there but he kept on eating a crisp every now and then.
I can still remember the song. We were going up and down the room, going, do not go to see the Seven Raymond show. And it worked.
It did really work. We were in quite a big room at lunchtime. We're in the same room as the Oxford Review, which got packed out at night. But we got like five or six people a night for an afternoon. Until I think the last day we came up with this is quite a good tip for anyone going to the Edinburgh Fringe. We went down the Royal Mile and gave people in couples one free ticket to see our show.
Yes.
So that meant that then they came and bought a ticket for their other person. So we actually managed to sell about 12 tickets on the final. But then we went back to Oxford at the start of our second year and we could put on the posters direct from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, oh, we were heroes.
And everyone went mad, wasn't it?
We were heroes. Like we were properly famous in Oxford. Like real genuine fame. I can remember there was, during Rag Week, it was like a treasure hunt, and one of the things on the treasure hunt was to find a Seven Raymond and bring them in.
Right.
So I spent all that day being constantly manhandled by people dressed.
Talking of being manhandled, do you remember in Johnson Terrace when Stuart Lee? No, when Stuart Lee
had sex for the first time.
I was going to say that. I could talk about that as well.
Yeah. Well, he lost his virginity and he came in the next day and he brought us all cream horns to celebrate. Didn't he?
Well, he was late for the rehearsal. We were rehearsing the next day. Yeah. And he was late for the rehearsal.
He was late through sheer smugness. Nothing more.
He brought
cream horns.
But there was another incident where he used my 100-year-old ventriloquist dummy that my great-granddad had made to attempt to masturbate me. Did you witness that?
I don't think I witnessed that.
If I can get a witness, I can probably get him sent to prison.
No, I...
Because that is... that. What DLT dad did isn't as bad as that, is it?
The way I heard was that Stu found you. I think suggesting that he was making you do it is something that you need to address and face up to.
We'll never know. It's just like the cupboards getting smashed in Edinburgh. I got my back garden was egged this week. That's what I was going to talk
egged.
About. Egged.
Egg, who
like
by?
An egg.
Egg it, like
we
an
don't
egg?
Know. I don't know who did it because that's a terrible.
Was it
only
a bird?
No. If it was a bird,
was it a chicken?
It was a very full chicken. Sitting in a tree. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And laid five eggs in my garden from
How
a height.
How many eggs?
There were five eggs thrown into... And I've only got a little tiny back garden, so that's not... It's very spacious, if you're thinking about my...
Well...
And I'll get rid of the egg before I sell it.
There's got to be suspects, haven't
well,
there?
Well, I think, you know, the most likely thing is it's the kids who live next door to us.
Right.
Have they got
a grudge against you?
Well, not really. There's a family and they're all sorts of different ages.
Yeah.
And there's some really little ones and there's some grown-up ones. And there was a teenage one when his mum was away. He was playing his music really loud one night. When it was when my wife was pregnant and she was trying to get to sleep. And Or maybe it was just after we had the baby. Either way, it was very annoying. And so she went round to tell him to shut up, and he didn't shut up.
Yeah.
And then she had to go round again, and then that time he shut up.
What state were the eggs in? Were they boiled?
They were raw eggs, so they raw were thrown. Eggs. I didn't notice. They were thrown, land on my sun lounge, and one of them didn't break. All the CSI evidence points to it being one of the kids from there, because the way they splattered, it looks like they've come. But recently, the comedian Stuart Goldsmith, who does an excellent podcast where he interviews comedians, don't know where he got the idea from. He moved in suspiciously to the house that backs on to mine.
Mm.
Now that's strange. That's a strange coincidence.
That is a strange.
It's almost like he's thought, you know, how can I get back a Rich Herring for winning all the awards and getting lots of people?
Yeah, I'm going to egg the fucker.
I'm going to wait until a flat become available near to. It's like Day of the Jackal. He's got his eggs ready.
He's had those eggs for years, then he gets that flat
and then he throws them and says, it could be
Well, be worried, because maybe he's just practicing with eggs first before he actually takes you out with a bullet.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm just putting that out there.
It's terrifying.
I mean, I don't want to worry you in your own home environment.
I'm already worried.
You know.
I'm worried someone who lives near me or a bird who doesn't like me has decided to throw eggs. I think it's just youthful high spirits on the half part of Stuart Goldsmith.
Or just someone who doesn't like eggs
and just wants
to get rid of them.
Someone's stolen these eggs, get rid of these eggs.
Someone who was juggling with eggs and
badly.
It just all went wrong.
So, I mean, I saw...
Good, I'm glad you've sorted that out.
As I explained. Well, that's an interesting... Because that leads us into this question of I could have murdered Michael Gove this week if I'd acted more quickly.
Yeah.
I had a bottle of beer, I could have just smashed it and gone and glassed him.
Yeah.
I know some people think
that
would be wrong.
Not a jury in the land would have sent you down.
I don't think there would be. You know, I think, I'd be a sort of hero and in prison. I'd be a folk hero.
Like that bloke who pied Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, it's similar. A sort of slightly more aggressive version of that.
Johnny Marbles.
Yeah, Johnny Marbles. I liked that. I thought that was good. I thought he got a harder time than he deserved for that.
Well,
it was pathetic.
He did slightly assault an octogenarian, if that octogenarian was as evil as the Emperor in Star Wars.
It's kind of good fun. When we were at university, I suppose a lot of these people were around. Have you ever had the opportunity? You've been in rooms with people and think, you've been in rooms with lots of famous people.
Yeah.
You could have killed people and, you know, saved. Who could you have killed that would have people now?
The most famous person I've been in a room with.
Well, the person who deserves. If you'd managed to kill them at the time and stop their crimes, that's what I'm saying. I could have killed Michael Gove in the early 90s when I worked on Stand in the Dark.
Well, hello. We could have killed David Cameron and Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could have killed them dead. Yeah. They were at Oxford at the same time as us.
Yeah. Didn't notice.
I mean, it's like someone's put drunken horses in charge of the country. It's baffling.
They were horrible. I think Michael Gove actually was president of the Oxford Union, and he's the only one I remember. But he was there was a comedy club in the Oxford Union in the cellar, which is where we all sort of started out doing our stuff together. We never went there apart from, I didn't. I wasn't a member of that, but we got to go with this. And there was pictures of them. Michael Gove's picture was him in his stupid glasses wearing a kilt in his picture. Mm. And I really remember that in his stupid smug face pretending he deserved to wear a stupid kilt.
I remember all the antics of the Bullingdon Club.
Yeah.
So that was kicking off all through those years.
The years that Boris Johnson and David Cameron were members of the Bullingdon Club?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you hear they got up to?
Well, they trashed the restaurant.
Yeah.
They did that. There was the incident with...
Allegedly.
There was the incident with the tramp and the £50 note, burning the £50 note in front of a tramp. There was that.
Yeah. Well, now they've kind of taken that idea and expanded on it into a national level.
I mean, at least they're consistent. I'll give them that.
I mean, if you'd seen them burning a £50 note in front of a tramp, I think you'd have been justified in killing them. And then, I think, you know, that at least morally, and then think what we'd have said. You could have killed them, and then someone worse might have come along.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know who, though. It's hard to think. Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage. He's never going to get any. He's a, I think I like him. He's a nice guy, Nigel Farage.
Have you met him?
No.
I slightly want to meet him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
I have the same thing about Katie Hopkins. I slightly want to meet
I was on Have I Got News For You the first time I did it, the week after Nigel Farage had been on, I think, for the first time.
Yeah.
And I had a Hitler moustache at the time. and everyone was saying, what's this Hitler moustache about? And then I said, well, I just wanted to make sure that you could get a guest who was more right-wing than the guy who sat here last week. I was close. I've sat in the same chair as Nigel Farage.
Yeah, nice.
But it's the same. Hitler survived in 1923, didn't he? The Munich putsch.
They were
walking down the street, and the guy next to Hitler got shot dead. And then Hitler always used that as an example of why he was meant to be.
Now this is interesting because I found myself in a room.
Yes.
With Michael Morpurgo. Now I did want to kill him. but he told me an amazing story that he was working on something that he wanted to do a documentary about a British soldier who was in World War One, and he was sort of like the World War One equivalent of American sniper, and he'd killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Germans, and he was a bit of a hero, and on this one day he'd killed like more people than he'd ever killed in a day, and he was just fed up of killing. And he found this German corporal and he let him go. He said, I'm not going to kill you, I'm letting you go. It was Hitler. And Hitler had a picture of this British soldier on his wall for the entirety of his time as head of the German forces.
Wow.
Yeah. And I suppose it is true because Michael Morpurgo told me, and he wouldn't make that up, Richard.
It's a good story, but when you film it, the guy has to go, well, sorry, sir, what's your name? And then he has to turn around and he goes, my name is Hitler. Adolf Hitler, you have to say it in that.
Yeah.
Well, why are you saying it like that?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean anything at the moment. You'll see why I'm saying it like that. You, I'm Adolf Hitler.
Remember my name. Like an X Factor reject. This isn't over.
He had a lot of problems. He wasn't that nice a guy, Hitler. So it was that's my summation. He's getting a lot of mentions today in today's podcast. He's still famous. That's the thing. If you say what you like about him,
you won't forget him.
Still talking about him, aren't we?
You won't forget him.
You'll still be talking about Katie Hopkins in 100 years' time. I always think that because I'm going to be doing Hitler Moustache as one of my run of 12 shows here at the Leicester Square Theatre. Come and see them all. And in August and September. But I thought I might this
are
time.
Are you going to have to?
Well, I'm going to grow a beard and then I'm going to shave just before the show.
Just for that one show.
But I also thought the one thing I wanted to do, which I didn't do, there's a statue of Charlie Chaplin out there. So I'll go and have my picture taken with my Chaplin moustache.
Yes.
With Charlie Chaplin. So that's something to look forward to. I think that was all I was going to say about that. Let's move on to... I'll ask you an emergency question. We have an emergency question for when I clam up and can't think of anything to say.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you one of those right now.
Yeah, I'm on tenter hooks.
You should be.
Let's hear it.
This Desert Island Dicks, this is called.
Desert Island Dicks.
If you were sent to a desert island, could you choose 8 Richards that you would take with you on that?
I've got to choose 8 Richards.
8 Richards, yeah. And I'm the luxury Richard, you get me?
You're okay.
I'm the Shakespeare Richard. I'm not.
I would choose Richard Madeley.
Oh, yeah, he's a popular choice.
But mostly because he fascinates me. He's I've been in his presence, and it's like being near a dangerous horse.
Yeah.
There's something about him that sort of animal magnetism, but gone wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated with him and Judy and Chloe and that whole relationship. And I just want to know him. I want to know Richard Madeley. Yeah. So
that's
he's one.
The good thing about this question is it's just slightly too many. It's fun up to about 3 and then it's just like, and then you're really struggling to think of other Richards. That's why I like it. I like the awkwardness it engenders.
Am I allowed a corpse?
Yep, you can have it. And
I'd have the dead Richard Harris.
Okay.
Because you know he was a bit of a hellraiser. He'd bring fun, a sense of fun, yes, to the island, and he would definitely know how to make alcohol from from rotten coconuts.
And he sang that song that I remember. This is one of my only memories of touring as the Oxford Review with you. He sang. Didn't he sing that song, Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain?
Yeah, Someone Left the Cake in the Rain.
And then,
Left the Cake.
I remember us hearing this song on the radio and just not being able to believe. I think it was the first time.
He said,
Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain. I don't think that I can take it because it took so long to bake it. And I'll never have that recipe again.
It took so long to bake it.
It's a cake rain based metaphor.
Yeah.
Someone Left a Cake Out in the Rain.
In the rain.
I'm being metaphorical. Okay, you can have Richard Harris. Also was Dumbledore.
How many more Richards?
Six more. Oh, you've had two.
Jesus,
that's two.
Jesus Christ. Can I have... I'll have Richard Ayoyaya.
Oh, yeah, Richard Ayoyaya.
I'll have him.
Yeah.
For no other reason. That I like to have an ethnically diverse mix.
That's good.
On the island.
If you're repopulating.
And Richard Pryor, let's have him as well. So we don't have the token black, we've got two. how many more people have I got?
Four more Richards.
Oh, you're joking me. No, I don't know if I know four more Richards.
Well, maybe I'll give you some time to think about it. The time is now. All right, I'll ask you another question.
Yeah.
It's another penis. This is a penis-based question.
Oh, where's Kelsa?
If you had to choose, if you had to choose between dating a man who was a 6-foot-tall penis,
he's just a 6-foot tall.
Just
has
a penis.
He got hands?
Got no hands, but
he's
got a face.
A mouth?
Yeah, he's got a face on his helmet.
Has he got a tongue?
Let's say he has got a tongue.
So he's a 6-foot penis.
So his face is on the helmet. Yeah. I don't know which side. I don't know if it's the banjo string side or the other side.
Okay. Is he...
I'd say probably
the
other
side. Has he got a smiley face?
I mean, the banjo string could be
face.
His nose.
Is it flat nose?
It's like a helmet, isn't it?
Okay, right.
His face isn't like
Has
a normal face.
Has he got facial hair?
I think he'd wear a wig to make himself...
All right.
He'd wear a kind of little tiny merkin
okay.
on
is
top of
Okay, is he wearing clothes at all?
Well, it doesn't really matter if he's wearing clothes.
How does he get around?
Well, I think Is he
on coasters? Does he slide?
It's just the bottom is like a slug.
Oh, like
there's
tentacles.
There's no balls, yeah.
Like tentacles.
It moves around like that.
Yeah, okay.
I think I had this idea because I was looking at...
Oh, he's not rolling on two balls.
No, he's not rolling. That would be ridiculous. I think there was a couple, there was Mark Reckless and a couple of these conservative UKIP MPs who I thought looked quite like penises. Mm. And then I decided they were penises. And what he does is he wears a suit with shoulders and Rod Hull arms on it.
So he looks
like a human being.
So he'd look
like this, but then his head's a penis and then his...
Plastic hands.
Yeah, but they can't do anything.
That you could be wanked off with.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's choice number
that's,
one.
That's maybe... Or...
Actually, could we have the old wooden gnarled hands of your 100-year-old ventriloquist doll?
Well, they're made of papier-mâché.
Might be a deal-breaker, I can't say.
They're made of papier-mâché like that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, like that they were. And straining.
Yeah, dream on.
Or a man who instead of penis had a tiny man in just there. It was like a man. He was a living man. And he's facing the man. So he's face to face with the man.
Hang on.
When he opens his trousers.
Wait, because I can't get my head around the tiny man. So there's a 6-foot penis or a tiny man.
Well, it's the man. You're dating the man, but he has a tiny... So, what choice one, let's just get this clear.
Yeah, because I'm not
is
clear.
Is the 6-foot penis.
Right.
Choice two is a man.
Yes.
He's a normal-looking man.
Like you.
No, I'm probably better-looking than me, if you can imagine.
Almost
that.
Certainly.
And but instead of a penis, he has another tiny man.
And
maybe all the way round to infinity, and then the tiniest one has a really massive man as his penis.
So it's a man with a man. A 6-foot penis.
Yeah.
I'm going for the 6-foot penis.
Yeah, good choice. I think now you've said about the hands of the ventriloquist dummy.
It's a game changer.
Before it was because of things like two men you could have a chat with.
Yeah.
You know, once you've been in a relationship a long time, you know, that side of things fades away. It's just about chatting and having enough time.
It's exhausting having sex. It's exhausting.
And unpleasant. generally unpleasant. And back to Emma. You've done a lot. You were, of course, as people will know, you were Nostradamus.
I was Nostradamus.
What you're most famous for.
Yeah.
But you did lots of comedy shows and comedy acting throughout the 90s. Well, that's what I want to talk about before that, though.
Yeah.
So you left university and you became, rather than joining the rest of us in our merry band of being horrible 20-something performers, you went and became a solicitor.
I was a solicitor. Yes, I had a secretary called Madge.
And what kind of soliciting did you do?
I was a litigator.
Right.
So I was the person who is supposed to thump desks and go, yes, we are going to sue them and we're going to go to court and we're going to be really aggressive.
Right.
And people would come in with plastic bags full of documents.
Yeah.
And they would rant at me for an hour because, generally speaking, when people go to see a solicitor, they are furious about something. They're really, really angry about something because everything they've tried up to this point has not given them satisfaction. That's sort of the starting position when someone comes through your door. So they're really angry and they would rant at me for an hour and then I would sit very quietly listening and then at the end I would just go, oh, let it go. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
It's going to cost you a lot of money to deal with this.
This is the thing, is that I did feel a moral sense of duty to tell people how much it was going to cost them if they want to actually take legal action against them. I mean, people can lose their houses.
Yeah.
So I always used to try and deter people. It was much easier representing someone who was being sued, or might be going to jail. That was always a bit easier. But I did do some good things.
Yeah.
There was one point where I was acting for a woman. And she was in a very horrible divorce situation, and her husband kidnapped the children, and I got this frantic call saying he's taking them, and he was going to take them to another country, and she would never see them again. And I got to do that thing where you alert all ports, and that was quite exciting. And I got a call. We caught them at Dover.
Oh, wow.
And the police rang me and they said, we've got them. And I got to make a phone call to the mother going, your children are safe. And I felt pretty good about that.
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Mortar was on a couple of weeks ago and he was a solicitor as well.
Yes.
And he said he forgot to get a couple to sign their mortgage. So essentially they had a free house. So he had to send his friend round pretending to be like a lead, put him in a hat and said, go round and get them to sign this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Thing. So he had to persuade these people to sign this thing, otherwise he would basically have probably lost his job.
That's amazing.
Did you make any terrible errors like that?
No, I didn't. No, I was good. Yeah.
So what was the thing that swayed you away from soliciting?
It was just a moment, really. I was just sitting on the tube, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I looked down. I was on the Northern Line, and I looked down the carriage, and everyone looked grey and ill. And I just thought, oh, for fuck's sake, this is like the next 40 years of my life. And I got off the tube and I went up to the senior partner's office and I said, oh, I've got something to tell you, I'm leaving. And he said, he immediately thought I'd been headhunted. How he thought I'd been headhunted was another matter, but he thought I was going to another firm. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to leave and I'm going to write some comedy now. And he literally laughed for half an hour without stopping.
That's a good sign.
And then he said that. And then he literally went, brilliant, brilliant joke. He put you up to it and went, no, I am. I'm resigning.
I'm resigning. I'm going to go and get a part on Planet Mirth. And then you, when
I
you
am
comes
resigning.
Out, you'll see I've made the
yeah,
right choice.
You'll see. When I told my mother, she literally had an emotional eclipse, the like of which you have never seen, and took to her bed for about 3 months with a sort of Victorian illness. And then I introduced her to Rory Bremner, and she thought it was lovely.
Well, it was. I suppose you were watching a lot of your friends were. Had spent those five or six years before.
Yeah, you were doing really well. Yeah, you were actually on the television.
We were.
Yeah, yeah, you'd done brilliantly.
And Mel and Sue, your friends, were doing very well.
Well, that was my first job, was writing for them. Yeah, they weren't quite on television yet. No. They were,
but
about,
they still are. So they've won.
They were about to
it's
do.
Not who's
like
on
lunch.
Telly first, is it? It's who's on telly for the longest. That's what filming yourself in here doesn't count. That does not count.
But the first time I saw Mel and Sue was at Edinburgh Festival,
yes.
and it was just me and one other person in the audience. That was it. But God bless them. They've done all right for themselves.
Right. I remember going to a party at Edinburgh where I think it was a Cambridge Footlight party that I think Sue was at, and all I remember was stealing bottles.
It was
of wine.
Mel. It was Mel.
It Mel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just stole a bottle of wine. I went in there and stole some wine.
Well,
we went to Cambridge. we weren't really into this Oxford-Cambridge rivalry thing particularly, but we did a gig in Cambridge and we stayed in a college in Cambridge. We were kindly put up in a college as we did this gig.
Yeah.
And we stole loads of science
stole
off
everything.
The wall.
Stole everything we could get our hands on. Yeah.
With screwdrivers. Yeah. We took
stole everything.
Proper signs off the wall.
Hid all the booty under a carpet when we were clearly, like, someone came to look to ask to check
awful.
Us over. But I can remember going to a party at the Edinburgh Festival when we were invited round by the Footlights, and we stood outside and you turned to me and you said, right, let's really shit them up. and then we just went in and went, hello. Hi, thanks for having us. Thank you.
I think that was the day
we brought
of my,
some crisps.
I think it was my 21st birthday was the day that we were in that Cambridge college. I think that's the day I turned 21. I'm pretty sure. And then we drank Newcastle Brown Ale. It was, and we'd been rehearsing all day. It was very depressing. Then we stole some signs off a wall of an ancient cottage and just probably threw them all in a bin.
Well, actually, I think I've still got one.
Oh, have you? Just give it away as a prize.
Yeah.
And you've been on Jonathan Creek.
Now, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, well, go on, then.
So in Jonathan Creek, at the end, I play the post officer and I end up in a bath of porridge.
That's right.
And it wasn't an unpleasant experience. It was actual porridge, but it was very uncomfortable.
You say that as if it might have been something. It wasn't Alan Davis's spunk. It was actual porridge. He didn't just spunk into a bath and make me for weeks and then make me sit in. It was actual porridge.
It was
Rich.
Proper porridge.
Okay.
But it was quite uncomfortable because there were two hot pipes that I had to sit on top of that were bubbling, so it made it look like the porridge was still bubbling. Anyway, did that, thought nothing more of it. Then a couple of years later, someone alerted me to the fact, because of course the internet was only just starting.
It was.
back in the day. You know, we were pre-internet, aren't we? So someone alerted me that there was a website that is dedicated to women who are in gloopy matter. So wet sand, quicksand, mud.
Yeah, there's lots of websites where there are women with gloopy matter on the map. Just say that you don't have to go so specific. But,
yeah,
imagine if that quicksand was loads of different men seeming. Yeah, like that's
but the criteria of this one was that you had to be sort of submerged in the gloopy matter, and so I am now sort of a pin-up. In the wank bank for gentlemen who like women submerged in gloopy matter.
It's nice to know.
Yeah,
do you give me the
skill.
Address of that website? I should be able to Google it. It should be fine. and what do you remember about being in the very important and seminal TV show this morning with Richard Not Judy?
Oh, I loved every minute of that.
It was good fun.
I really loved it. I really loved David Collins. I used to sit and chat to him in my dressing room. Someone found me doing it once, and I wasn't even embarrassed. I just said, "No, I love David. I properly love David Collins." But we just had so much fun doing that show. I loved everything about it. There was one point where, because obviously I was the curious alien as well.
Obviously.
But there was one point where I was standing and I had horse's legs. I had the false man's chest with Robbie Williams' tattoo on it. I was wearing an alien on one arm and I had a long grey beard and those eyebrows.
Oh, yes.
And the hat. And I thought, yeah. This is what I want to do.
They've knocked the Riverside Studios down now. Have you seen?
Have they?
Yes, it's a pile of rubble.
Oh, no.
Yeah, everywhere. In fact, everywhere associated with this morning Original Duty. Seriously, everywhere has been either shut down.
Destroyed.
Or burned down. Or destroyed. The Battersea Arts Centre, where we did a lot of our previews, but has burned down. Well, it's all right. It survived mostly. The BBC has closed down. I went past there the other day and they're all digging that up. It's really horrible. And,
I used to really enjoy as well doing the things that fall out of cupboards.
Yes, that was...
The Greg Evans. I loved those. And Putner was so funny. he was just brilliant. I loved every minute of doing it. I was very sad it was cancelled.
Well, maybe we'll do another series sometime.
Well...
just waiting for the call, really. See... They never said it wasn't coming back.
Just, you know what? Never give up.
Never going to give up.
Never give up, Harry.
It's only 16 years ago since it finished.
They're bringing back TFI Friday.
They are. Yeah. Do I have to work with Stuart Lee, though, if they bring it back?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. and you're doing, I mean, you're doing incredibly, there's so much to talk to you about, but we're getting, you're doing so incredibly well at the moment. You're doing a lot of writing.
Yes.
I've been reading your... latest book.
Yes, Shoes for Anthony.
You've written lots of books. You've
written nine books.
Yeah, so you've written books about your family.
Yeah.
And that's been adapted into a TV show.
Yeah.
And you've written children's books.
Yeah.
Wilma Tenderfoot. And then I thought, you know, this will be the usual knockabout poo-based material that Emma Kennedy is famous for.
It's a tearjerker.
It's about a Welsh child who doesn't have any shoes.
He's 11, got no shoes.
And he becomes the first Welsh person ever to have shoes, and it's set in 2014.
Yeah, first
it's about him walking around.
I got some shoes. Look at that, I got shoes.
That's what I've read the first two chapters. So it's good, it's gripping stuff.
Yeah, is it? Well, it gets more gripping.
So it's about the Bevan boys and the miners in Wales.
Yeah,
so how do you know about all this stuff?
Because my dad's Welsh, have you not noticed?
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean you know he can tell you all about the war and living in the village. And it's set in World War II.
Set in World War II, set in 1944, a month before the D-Day landings. And, it started because my dad kept telling me stories about when I was a boy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And he genuinely didn't have shoes until he was 14. He had a pair of Wellingtons that he was only given because someone up the road had died. And they were proper poor. Like my dad didn't sleep in the bed because his elder brother's got the bed. He slept under the bed on a coat.
Yeah.
And he had pictures of shoes glued on the walls because he was obsessed with shoes because he didn't have any. And he used to stand with his nose pressed up against shoe shops, staring at the shoes, just thinking, I wish I had some shoes. But don't get me wrong, the book's not about shoes.
It's mainly about shoes.
Even though it's called Shoes for Anthony, that's an allegory. It's an allegory. So the actual story is... Anthony has two elder brothers who are down the pit. His dad's down the pit, and this was exactly what would happen. All the boys that were of enlistable age were not allowed to enlist. They were called Bevan boys, and they were forced to stay at home and go underground. And this caused great sense of shame and emasculation, and there was a real sense in these small communities that the war was entirely passing them by, which is a weird thing to sort of regret that they were missing out on everything. And they used to go and sit up in the mountains and watch the bombing raids going into Swansea and to Cardiff, and sort of weirdly, sort of, you know, we're missing out on everything. So in classic storytelling tradition, at the end of chapter five, I give them all what they wish for. Right. And the war very much suddenly comes to the vision. Because I found out two things in doing research for it. I found out that planes used to regularly crash into the mountains, both German and British planes. And that the Americans sent all their troops to the Rhondda Valley to train before the D-Day landings, which is why it's set a month before. So two things happening. I won't tell you in case you go out and buy it. but it's a be careful what you wish for sort of story. Yeah. But these things used to happen. I was told a brilliant story that a German plane once landed. It didn't crash. It landed near Treherbert, and the German air crew got out. And they walked to the nearest house and knocked on the door, and they said, "Can we have a cup of tea?" and the woman sort of let them in and gave them a cup of tea, but not in her best china.
It's proper good. I have to say, you know, I mainly knew you from the poo stories that you told me. Have you got any new poo stories? Come up. There was the one man who ate...
Oh, have I told you the one about the A-list film star in the hot tub?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember anything. Right. Have I anyone who's obsesses about As It Occurs to Me? No, let's go.
Okay, so I won't mention his name, but he's gone away for a spa weekend.
Yeah.
And he's... Let's just say he's well known for being in a double act in films.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's gone to a spa, and he's in the hot tub at a very posh hotel, and he's lying there, and all of a sudden he looks down and a massive turd has parked itself on his chest. So someone has done a shit in the hot tub and abandoned it. And so what he did was... He got a plastic cup and he scooped the poo into it and he took it to reception and handed it in as lost property.
Is it Oliver Hardy?
No.
I'm out of ideas.
Yeah.
Did he ask them to change the water in the spa?
I don't know if he did that.
It's probably
no.
good for you, right?
Yeah, probably.
There's a website you can go to that someone would...
Have you seen that video clip of the models that are all in the hot tub, and one of them literally shits herself and has massive diarrhoea in the hot tub? And you've never seen three people get out of a hot tub quicker. Apart from her, she just stays. It's awful. It's sort of awful, but it is funny.
But, you know, I wouldn't expect shit to be in a hot tub, but pretty much everything else is going to be, right? I mean, someone's definitely wanked in there. If you've been in there and it's past the first 15 minutes the hot tub's been open that day, someone has definitely wanked in there.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, and definitely. It might have been me. But people are wee in there, weren't they?
The problem now is that anyone listens to this and they happen to chance upon you at a lovely weekend break in a spa. And
they see me coming
out. See you anywhere near the hot tub.
He looked very relaxed as he was exiting, didn't he?
Hmm.
Because when you ejaculate into water, of course,
yes,
it kind of becomes...
I love how you say "of course" to me, as if I know.
It becomes like all stringy and sticks to you.
Does it? That's nice.
Yeah. It sort of comes back and attacks you. It's like the sperm. They come out and they go, "Hey, we're about to create a baby." And they go, "Hold on, this isn't a woman's vaginal canal. This is some hot soapy water. Who did this to us? Why?" And then they become kamikaze because they realise it's up. That's the end for them.
Yeah.
I mean, a clever one might think, I'll just hang around in this hot tub. Maybe a lady will get in. Maybe I can find my way through this costume.
The thing
but
that...
most of them, they come back. And then they become like, you know, they're like sea monkeys.
Yeah.
They become...
With faces.
They get bigger. Yeah. And then they attack you.
Do you remember buying sea monkeys?
No, I never did. I always wanted to.
I bought sea and being absolutely furious that they didn't have smiling faces. Really properly furious. Because on the packet,
family,
it was like,
they?
Yeah, having a great old time.
Yeah. Good. Oh, and you gave others, you nearly killed me. You actually genuinely nearly killed me. Probably the closest I came to death.
1989.
Was, 1989. And when I finished my finals, you came out to greet me. I think you already finished your finals?
Yes, yeah. I'd finished.
So your finals
the
finished
day
first.
Before.
And then history finished. And you brought me and Ewan Thompson a bottle of whiskey. Traditionally, you'd get a bottle of champagne. Emma thought, I'd be clever, I'd get a bottle of whiskey.
You preferred whiskey.
You said you preferred whiskey to
champagne. I was thinking of you.
It was nice. The problem was that I then, in the next 90 minutes, drank an entire bottle of whiskey. as well as some champagne and stuff that other people were passing around.
Yeah.
And the night becomes a slight blur. I remember being in a bar in one of the colleges and then having to go to the loo. And then I remember being sitting on the loo. And just being sick on the floor. So I was too drunk to understand what I had to do. So I was sitting on the loo and I was just throwing up on the floor.
Yes.
And there was a sea of sick in front of me. And I remember a guy knocking on the door. And I was a member of staff going, oh, God, get out of here. You know, and then I walked down the road.
Yeah.
And everyone was going for a curry. And I was going to go for a curry with them.
Yeah.
And then just as I got to the point where they were going to go to the curry and that way, just something in my brain said, go home. And I turned left and went home. I genuinely think if I'd gone to that curry place and had any one more drink,
You would have died.
I would have died.
Yeah.
My brain just went, go home. And I woke up the next morning with barely woke up. I was nearly dead and it was the most terrible hangover I've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, technically, that wasn't my fault.
I think it was your fault. If you got me a bottle of champagne, I could have drunk the bottle of champagne. I wouldn't have been sick on the floor.
No.
So I just love the fact the perspicacity of me going, I've been really sick. I'll go for curry. I'll go for a nice vindaloo. That'll sort me out. 2-1 I got a 2-1.
2-1.
The annoying thing is, if I died before the exams, automatic first. That's what happens.
Is that true?
Yeah. If you die before you've taken your exams...
Is
automatic
that
first.
True?
So, because of you, if I died afterwards, they did. If you'd killed me, think of all the how good it would have been. It would have been a much. You've been writing on Danger Mouse.
Yes.
I mean, you've been writing a lot. You're working very, very hard. And like that book the book we talked about, it's like a proper book.
It's a proper book.
Not just like a thing you read on your toilet. It's like a proper, you read this, go, that's like someone, there's similes in this and stuff.
Yeah.
But you've been writing Danger Mouse as well.
Yes, Danger Mouse is
back. How's it going?
It's gone brilliantly. We met Brian, the original creator of Danger Mouse, which was he's only got one ear.
And did he then use that experience to give? He thought, I'll create a creature with one eye, and I'll use my experience.
You know what? I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that
What's happened to his other ear?
I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Were you just looking
at it? Probably.
Were you doing this a lot? Were you just slightly? Are you talking to him?
I was a bit. I was like, because
what's there instead?
Because when you're not looking at someone straight on, and you only like just cat, and you think, hang on, has he got one ear? Where's the other one gone? But
did you notice because his glasses were kind of down his face? Hold on. What was
now
there
you
instead
say
of his
that,
ear?
It was a bit like a bit slopey on one side, but that's been brilliant writing Danger Mouse because I loved it first time round. I haven't seen the finished product yet, but the animation looks absolutely brilliant.
And the act Kevin Eldon is Penfold.
Yes, and Alexander Armstrong is Danger. I haven't heard them, so I don't know what they're like.
I reckon I can guess what Alexander Armstrong's going to sound like.
Yes, I think he'll just sound like Alexander Armstrong. On Pointless, yeah.
Have you been on Pointless?
I have, yeah. How did you get on?
I did pretty well. I did
Richard,
very well.
How did you get
well.
On?
I did really
did you, pretty
well.
I've got a trophy.
I did pretty well.
Because I won my episode of Pointless. I don't know how you got on, Richard.
I can't. It's not really that important to
doesn't
me.
Doesn't really matter
know.
Now.
I don't. It's not that it's just something I did. It's, I forgot. No. It's, you know, like this.
Yeah.
Like this other stuff I've done. Oh, I just don't think.
Never you know. Give up. Never give up.
You say you can go on as many times as you want, but I think if you go on more than four times and still haven't won, that's quite embarrassing. If it's your 100th time against stupid celebrities.
I think they've got a rule, is if you die before it's broadcast, then you win the trophy. Yeah.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
They could just give me one. I was really good on the last... Robert Webb was my partner on the... on the last one, who's going to be a guest.
And how did you get on with that one?
Well, I did well. We did well. We squeaked through the first round. We were a bit lucky. And then I got a pointless answer.
Oh, did you? Well, well done.
And then Robert Webb fucked it up. And I'm only really got him on to this so I can spend 90 minutes just saying, what the fuck? What were you doing? Yeah. He had to do a country ending in a vowel. He went for something. Where did he go? Like something in Mexico or something. What a prick. For any, because there's so many. He only there's had to get under nine.
Yeah, Libya.
So many he could have done.
Yeah.
Anywhere in Africa.
Anywhere. Eritrea.
Eritrea would have been,
that would have been a good one.
Would have been scored some points. I had a few up my sleeve.
Moldova.
Yeah, that would
That's
have done.
Been a good one.
Why can't I go on with you or someone? I want to go on with Ben Moore. They won't let me go on.
We should. Okay, we should go on together.
Then we'll still lose. You'll fuck it up.
No. No, we won't, because I'm a winner.
You are a winner. You also won Celebrity MasterChef. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Hashtag spoiler.
Anyone watching the 2012, 3 years ago,
2012, the greatest year.
Couldn't come to my wedding, could you? Because you weren't going to be in the MasterChef final.
I was cooking,
And I'll let you off because you won.
Oh, thanks.
And you've never invited me round for dinner. I've never seen you cook a thing.
What I am very good at is going to people's houses and catering for them for a dinner party.
Are you? Okay.
So I will offer this to you now.
Okay.
If you would like to have like a farewell dinner at your house when you move, please someone buy his house. Then I'll come round and cook for you.
Okay, great. That
I do a lovely range of canapés.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
It's good to have a skill, isn't it? But it's a backup in case.
It's a good backup.
I haven't got a backup. That's my problem. I've got to carry on
it
doing this.
It is a good backup.
And you've like friends with loads. Now, since you were friends with me, you've just become friends with loads of really famous people. Like Scully and Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, Gillian Anderson, I go around her house now and play games. That's mental, isn't
it? It's crazy. Can you get her on this? Would you can tell?
Yeah, I probably could, yeah. I can't at the moment because she's off filming X-Files.
X-Factor.
Yeah, she's doing X-Factor. Oh, no, I've revealed the fourth judge. She's off. Yeah. She's off doing X-Files again.
She'd be good, wouldn't she? Stuart Lee once stood behind her.
She's fun, you'd like her.
Yeah, but she is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuart Lee once stood behind her in a shop in Canada and she spoke to him. I think she was probably flirting with him. Do you think the young Stuart Lee?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
He was good looking.
Yeah.
She was nice looking and still is nice looking.
She is nice looking. Yeah.
And you're friends with Alison Moyet. You've done How We Met with Alison Moyet in The Independent.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I'm friends
from
with
off
her.
From Yazoo.
Yeah.
She drinks that. Yeah. Drinks that Yazoo all the time. She loves that Yazoo. Was Yazoo named after... Was Yazoo the drink? It's a quite unpopular shake drink, isn't it? Yazoo.
Are you
was
thinking it named of Yaloo?
No, there's Yazoo, isn't there? There's a drink called Yazoo.
Is there really?
It's like Panda Pops. It's like an unsuccessful yogurt-based drink called Yazoo.
Oh, is it with you and yogurt?
I've not thought about it for a long time. I think I've never had a Yazoo. Has anyone ever had... This is brilliant Peter Kay that no one... and remembers material. Has anyone ever drunk a Yazoo?
Yeah.
What is it?
A chocolate milkshake.
It's a Yazoo. Was the Yazoo named after the band Yazoo, or was the band Yazoo named after the drink Yazoo?
I think the milkshake was inspired by the band.
I think the Just get a little shot of that guy, because he's quite confident. He's quite a confident fellow. We can just use that. We can use that shot, Chris, when he's saying that. Pretend, just move your mouth a bit. Yeah, good. We'll use that shot.
I will ask her, and then I can relay the news back to you, and then you can confirm or deny in a later podcast.
Upstairs at Eric's. That was their...
That's their first
album. Played Eric's. I've played Eric's, It's in Liverpool, I believe. Any of the Wikipedia nerds confirm that? Yes, thank you. I've played that venue.
That's good.
Is it across the road from the Cavern? Yeah. Okay, that's the guy. Yeah. Are you Paul McCartney? Because it'd be amazing if we had someone more. We got a kind of couple of no marks on the show today. It'd be amazing if Paul McCartney was just watching. He was sitting there going, I wish I could be on this. Maybe if I go along and sit in the audience, they'll spot me and say, oh, do you want to be on this? If you're watching Paul McCartney, if you want to come on, I don't know much about your music. I do actually. I quite like Paul McCartney. I used to have a good joke. I used to have a good joke about Paul McCartney, but he's ruined it. And I've ruined it by explaining this joke about Paul McCartney.
We'll try it on
The joke is, what walks with four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, three legs in the evening?
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney and his wives.
Oh.
Just factually accurate. It's not. It's mathematically accurate. He's ruined it by getting married to someone else.
What's most troubling
is
that you are now in charge of another human being.
I think it's the wittiest. That's honestly one of the wittiest things I ever came up with. I was so annoyed when he got married again.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you have made it work with Heather just so my joke, my beautiful joke could work?
Poor old Heather.
Yeah, I think she's done all right out of it.
Yeah, she's done all right.
She's gone okay. We might have done enough.
What?
It's flown by. We might have done enough. Let me just check if there's nothing else important to talk about.
You were going to ask me about Bugs Bunny, weren't you?
No, we've done that backstage. That's a secret for backstage.
That's a secret.
Yeah, if you have to pay £1 if you want to hear us talking about Bugs Bunny. And you were in a very British cult. Trying to recreate the cast of a very British cult back together. We've had you, Miranda, and me.
Miranda, before she was famous. Yeah, Jerry McNulty.
We played a husband and wife in...
Yes, we did. We were in bed together.
Sweet, I remember
Never
that.
Never give up.
That was great. We did say we would get married when we were students. I did talk about this backstage. And if we got to 40 and we were married. And we were both 40 and we weren't married.
Mm.
And we didn't get married.
Mm.
Do you think there's a chance for us in the future if our partners sadly die?
I think if both of our partners die
sadly die
in very sad circumstances, then I think it would be only right and proper that we somehow comfort each other, but without having to have any sex ever.
You're quite nice looking still.
But
I know how old you are because you're a little bit older than I am.
But if we could, I think if we could work in the hand of the ventriloquist puppet, I think that could satisfy both of us.
I've got two puppets, so one could be on each side.
Yes, exactly. So if we had sex puppets, then I think it would be more than adequate that we could get together and finally be wed as all of nature longs for and the nerds desire.
It'd be nice. Maybe in 40 years. We're 88 years old.
Yeah.
I gave people a clue as to how old Emma is. She's 1 month and a half older than me. Unbelievable.
Going to
be
50 in 2 years.
Shut the door. God, we had our joint 40th birthday party. Yes. It seems like only yesterday.
And we did. I don't know if we said this in the secret pound pod, but when we had our 40th birthday, we had a joint party. And we were both genuinely convinced that neither of us would ever, ever, ever find anyone who would want to marry us. And so we spent way too much on this party because we genuinely thought it was sort of like our wedding reception.
And you got loads of presents and I got nothing.
That's all I remember. Of presents.
And I got very drunk.
Did you? Yeah. I didn't.
And you can read all about it in my book, How Not to Grow Up.
Got a bit tipsy. Yeah.
You're
I remember it.
Oh, well, it's happy. I can't believe that's that long ago.
I know.
I wish I was 14 again.
Do you?
When I was 40, I thought I'm really old. I looked back at a photo of me when I was 40 in my blog the other day. I'm so young and handsome. My hair's really long, but it all looks shiny and, you know.
You had hair like Richard Madeley for a while, didn't you?
I did.
Made you look magnificent.
I did. I looked awesome. And then I've had a baby and she sucked the life out of me like a vampire.
This is what they do.
And you'll be her mother, of course, in the future. You'll be her stepmother.
I will, but
to help,
you know,
bring me up. Bring
hopefully,
it up.
It, well, how old will it be?
Well,
are we saying about four years?
Yeah, well, it could be four. It could be 4 years.
Four,
yeah.
5 years.
You don't like babies.
Depending on the sudden and sad deaths of our partners.
That'd
be fine because children get interesting then.
Yeah. I kind of like her. She's a little baby, but I kind of want her to stay like being a baby. If we have another one, I'm going to try and make it stay a baby forever somehow. I'm going to do some kind of medical experiment on it. Because they're quite good fun, I think, as babies. A lot of people say babies are boring. I kind of think they're sort of funny.
I like it when they start talking. That's when I suddenly become interested in a child. Yeah.
I don't think it'll be long. My child's very advanced and she's much better than the other babies. she's really big. She's going to be a gigantic child. I think she's taken after her mother there a little bit. Her hands are already bigger than my hands, but that is not that difficult.
That's not difficult at all.
But anyway, she's very nice. So thank you for coming in, Emma. Good luck all your stuff. That if you ever want to put me in, you might put you in lots of TV shows. If you ever want to put
something?
Me in all of your TV shows.
You know what I'm going to tell you? when we were filming Series 1 of the Kennedys, which we're editing at the moment, there was a moment where, I did think about you.
Yeah, there's no good thinking about it.
I did, because there was a moment where we needed someone to play a postman, and I remembered you playing... That you had played a postman.
I've done the postman.
That you had played a postman in Time, Gentlemen, Please.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he knows how to play a postman.
I do, yeah.
He might be really good at playing a postman. And then I thought, no. Richard Herring gave me all the opportunities I've ever had.
I must give him nothing in return.
No. So I'm going to wait till series two and write him a proper part and not a part for a postman who has no lines.
Yeah. I wouldn't be in any rubbish you wrote anyway.
And my fingers crossed, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please give... please,
twat.
Please let me... I didn't mean it. Please let me be on the telly, please. Please let me be on the telly. I'll do anything. Ladies and gentlemen, it's TV's Emma Williams Kennedy. It's Emma Williams. That's her real name.
Bye.
Thank you very much. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Death to Square Theatre podcast with my guest, TV's Emma Kennedy. The music is by Pest. It's got quite a nice beat to it, hasn't it? Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, and thank you to everyone at Go Faster Strike for filming it. You can watch this on a film if you like as well. It is produced by Ben Walker. He banged onto a piece of wood. And it is a Go Faster Strike, but Fuzz production, and a Sky Potato production for the internet. This is the best credits there has ever been. Thank you for watching Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. If you enjoyed that, go to gofasterstripe.com. Buy a DVD. If you like, buy a badge. All that money will come to me and I will actually make some money if you buy a DVD. If you buy a badge, you'll help fund future stuff and maybe get access to a secret channel. Gofasterstripe.com/badges. I've got to say this. Glenn Ashcroft has paid money for this to happen. I've got to go over to Robot Voice. Calculating how much money has Glenn Ashcroft wasted. Calculating. 52 idiot pounds. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Puny human, he must die. So that was Robot Voice talking there. Some of you might not know what that is. Thanks for listening, and thanks to everyone who contributed to the Kickstarter. Here's a lot of names of those people. Matthew Smith, Ewan Duncan, Rob Applin, Darren Foote, Colin Anderson, Raymond Harpany, Kevin Tipcorn, Steve Mash, Dean Ratland, Gaynor Wilson, Adam Queck, Stuart Fawcett, Tim Turner, Julian Benton, Thomas Baldwin, Lauren Pilkington, Matthew Blackburn, Neil Martin, Jack Burton, Fraser Levy, Gina Lynn, Paul Jeffrey, Rob Ward, Robert Tang Richardson, Leo Vigoda, Carol Forster, Icky Kawa, Cole McGonigal, Aurora Watters, Jake, Heather Henderson, Simon Carl, Christine Sato, David Collier, Jijin John, Roy Owens, Matthew Poynton, and Kevin Simmons, Stephen Davies, Paul Gardner, Al Knapp, Emma Crossland, Ivan Scheel, Christine Turner, Simon Gardner, Luke Todd, and Ben Hughes. All quite ordinary name people this week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.